Good morning. Today's Daven Gittin, Chaf Ches. We are starting with the Mishnah today on the top of Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. And Hamevi Get, we are discussing over the course of this morning that when you're delivering a get, so what assumptions do we make regarding the husband? Specifically when he's old, he's infirmed. At what point in time can we assume that the husband's still alive? Remember, we did this earlier in the Masechta. Sometimes it takes about 6 months for the get to travel. From Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, or from wherever in Chutz Eretz to Eretz Yisrael. So, life back then was not as fast as life is now. That's an understatement. So, in 6 months' time, a lot can happen in 6 months. Notably, the person sending the get is, you know, could be that he's no longer alive. Invalidating the get, ain't get lacher misa. So, maybe the person died. So, all of today we're going to be discussing one topic and one topic only. Well, the truth of the matter is that we're going to get through the entire Mishnah and Gemara over the course of today. We're going to start the next Mishnah on the Amud Beis, but most of today is going to be revolving around one simple topic, and that's the topic of Chazaka. Let's go back to our Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says is that we have a number of fundamental principled concepts in Halacha. One is Rov. The Gemara in Chulin discusses Rov. This is all on Daf Yud, Yud Aleph, and the other one is Chazaka. So Rov, we all know, Rov is basically statistical majority. Statistics, in other words, we basically take a look, we take an assessment of what the numbers are, and if the numbers are pointing in one direction, so therefore we're going to head in that direction, right? What you and I would call data analysis, but that's Rov. And then, of course, Chazaka. Chazaka is that there are certain assumptions that we make. And by the way, sometimes these terminologies are crossed. Sometimes a Chazaka can be based on a Rov. Okay, so in other words, it's not as simplistic as I'm presenting it, but you understand these are halakhic concepts that we hear throughout Shas, and they are so fundamental. And if you want to dig into the core of these halakhas of Chazak and Rov, so you turn to the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Yud Yud Aleph, and the Gemara over there at length treats these two big topics. In the course of today's Daf, we're going to be spending our time talking about Chazaka. And Chazaka basically is status quo, right? Perhaps a great English translation of the word chazaka, and that is that what assumptions do we make? We make the assumption of status quo. Whatever was is going to be. Even though, of course, everything changes, life changes, and when I say life changes, life also ends, right? The inevitability of life, we're all familiar, right? No, it's inescapable. And so even though as a person sends his get out, and it's 6 months later, well, is he still alive? You know, we can't call the individual. I mean, now we can, but in other words, back in the day, you can't call the person. You can't find out in real time is the person alive. The get was sent 6 months ago. What do I know about this individual? Is he still alive? Chazaka will tell us. Chazaka will answer that question. Chazaka will say yes, the person's still alive, and that complemented with a couple of other halachas in our Mishnah. So we're going to go over this concept of chazaka. Let's start with the Mishnah. Hamevi get v'nichazaka nechola. So the person sending the get, and the person who was sending the get was either old or he was infirmed. So the chazaka tells us that he's still alive. The get hasn't arrived until 4 or 6 months later. It doesn't matter. The person's still alive. Chazaka will answer our question as to whether he's still alive. And now we're going to give two other examples of chazaka playing out over here in the Mishnah.
It doesn't matter how sick he is, or when you say old, what does that mean?
We're going to answer some of your questions.
How old is he?
Okay, good. So Bas Yisrael, that's right. No, you're asking the correct question. We're going to come to it. Bas Yisrael nesula kohen v'halach ba'ala lemedinas hayam uchalas b'chumah b'cheskeshu kayim. Example number two in the Mishnah. And that is a woman's married to a kohen, entitling her to eat chumah. And the husband goes away. And her entitlement to eat chumah is all a predicate of her husband still being alive.
Assuming she doesn't have a child.
No, yeah. What? No. She's Aishas Cohen.
No, but if she had a child, then...
Oh, okay, fine. Correct. Yes. So the husband's been away now for a month, 2 months, 6 months later. I don't know, maybe... Is he still alive? Again, Chazaka answers that question. Chazaka tells us, yes, status quo. And example number three. Ashulecha tosami medidas yab makrivenosa beches keshukayim. Person sends a carbon chatas, right? Unable to bring the carbon chatas in person in the Beis HaMikdash, so he sends it. Okay, so you could send karbanos. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question later this morning. Carbon chatas requires smicha. It's kind of hard to do smicha long distance. Smicha requires you to put your hands on the head of the carbon. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask that question, but if we can ignore that question for a moment and just ask a simple question. He sent the carbon now 4, 5, 6 months ago, and now we're offering a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, the carbon can only be brought if the person's still alive. Is that person still alive? And for a third time, the Mishnah is going to answer very simply, yes, the person's still alive. Why? Because Chazaka tells us that the person's still alive, okay? And you know this is coming, meaning if you've been around in the daf long enough, so you know the Gemara is going to ask, why do I need three examples here in the Mishnah to all speak to the same basic idea that Chazaka is a thing? Chazaka works. Chazaka answers the question of what's the status? And the answer is status quo. So why do I need three different examples? You know that question is coming. The Gemara is going to explain that at the end of the sugya. Amar Rav Loshanu al Azakin Shelo Higia Lagvurus V'cholo Sherov Cholim L'chaim Avazakin Shegia Lagvurus V'gosti Sherov Gostim L'misa Lo. Okay, so to Phil's question, the Gemara now is addressing Phil's question. And that is, what's sick and what's old? And then we can't treat all sick people the same. And we can't treat all old people the same. And so what Rav attempts to do is he tries to give parameters to what is sick and what is old. So he says, as far as I'm going to go in the order. As far as old is concerned, Zakin, so Zakin Shelo Higia L'Gvuros. We're talking about a Zakin who has not arrived at the age of 80. Gvuros is 80. So based on the Pasuk in Tehillim. But once the Zakin has arrived at the age of 80, so at that point in time, you can't say he has a Cheskes Chaim. Okay, Phil, don't worry. By the way, you're gonna see. By the way, we're gonna do them. We're gonna do more than resurrect you. We're gonna right. Okay. So as far as chol is concerned, as far as somebody sick is concerned, we're talking about somebody sick, not somebody who's critical. Okay, but if somebody's a ghost sick, if the person's in critical condition, so then we're not gonna say this. In other words, so. Chazaka will answer the question, is the person still alive? The answer is yes. If he's old, yes. If he's sick, yes. But in other words, but there comes a point of time, both in terms of age and in terms of illness, where the Chazaka is no longer going to be true. Now, Eitzve, Abaya, maybe Gevri, Nichu, Zaka, Nefila, Ben Meyashanim, Nosin, Lo, Bechezka, Shu, Kayam. So Abaya says, I don't understand. I have a Brisa that talks about a 100-year-old delivering a get. And we're going to apply the Chazaka. How do you know the person's still alive? Chazaka tells us the person's still alive. So you're telling me 80, that's it, right? Nothing more to talk about. He lost his chazaka. And meanwhile, Abai quotes a brisa that says even at 100 he has a chazaka. So Tiyufta. So the first point the Gemara makes is, okay, so Rava's distinction of old versus very old, the Gemara says no such distinction. Meaning, Abaye's brisa is going to trump Rava's point. That's answer number one. Answer number two, an interesting answer. Answer number two, Ebi Samakim de Iflig. Answer number two is that there's a difference between 80 and 100. Okay. So in other words, at 80 at that point in time, the Chazaka is no longer there. Why? Because most people die by 80. Again, I'm not talking, you understand, I'm talking within the framework of what they experienced and what they lived through. So by 80, most people die. However, if you make it past 80, now I'm going to say past 80 right now, in a moment, I'm going to sharpen that. But if you live past 80, so about at that point in time, so now you're an outlier. Now that you're an outlier, you're clearly an outlier, so at that point in time, gesundheit. In other words, you've regained your chazaka. It's an interesting second answer of the Gemara. Now, what point post 80 are you regaining your chazaka? So Rashi over here says 90. In other words, so from 80 to 90, you lost your chazaka, right? This is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. And then from 90 and from 90 and onward, so at that point in time, you regain your chazaka. Hi, right? Your chances of living are even better. Yeah. In other words, you're now clearly an outlier. you no longer seem to be working with what people normally experience. And so therefore, your chazaka continues. So a quick conclusion to this Gemara's discussion. And that is that Rava says that a cheskas chai is given to somebody who is a zakin. That's true. But not a zucking, not somebody who's really old. He describes as 80. And at that point in time, he lost his chazaka. Abaye challenges. Based on a brisa, the brisa says even 100 has a cheskes chayim. So two approaches of the Gemara. Number one, Rav is rejected. Rav's position is rejected. Alternatively, number two, maybe there's a way of resuscitating your chazaka. By 80, that's when most people die. But post 80, so and if you made it post 80, by all means, you've regained your chazaka. So Ramele Abay La Rabba Tanana Mevi Gevi Ni Chazaka Nochol Anosel Abechetz Keshu Kayim Veriminu Harezi Kitech Shachas Kadal Mitzaso Asur Lechol B'Chur Mamiyad. Okay, so Abay and Rabba now are looking at our Mishnah and looking at it in the context of other Tanaitic statements. On one hand, our Mishnah says that you have a Cheskas Chaim. On the other hand, Harizik Yitech Shach has Kone L'misasa. Person leaves, but before leaving, he says to his wife, look, I want to give you, an insurance policy, a get insurance policy. I'm going to write you a get. The get will be effective a moment before he dies, and then he goes away. From the moment he goes away, she can't eat truma. Okay, so what we are doing over here is we're stuck now between our Mishnah and the Brisa just quoted. Our Mishnah says, what's it when asking the question, hey, he's been away for a while, he's still alive? Our Mishnah's answer is a definitive yes, he's still alive. Chazaka, status quo. Meanwhile, over here in the Brisa, right, when given an insurance get to his wife, having it activated a moment before he dies, and then he goes away. So at that point in time, she cannot eat truma. Okay, so obviously that's called a stira. So armalei truma gitin karamis truma esher get lo esher. Okay, so right now the Gemara says, on one hand it's a question, on the other hand it's not a question at all. Meaning, our Mishnah is coming from the perspective of get. In other words, is the get going to be valid or not valid? So the answer is, again, Chazaka tells us the person's still alive and the get's valid. The Gemara points out, gittin lo efshar. Rashi explains what that means over here is as follows. We don't want a woman to be in a guna, right? It's probably one of the biggest themes that comes up again and again through our Masechta. And to every avenue that we can go down, we will prevent a guna to the best of our ability. So to the answer of the question of, is the get valid so that she can go ahead and move on in her life? So the answer is going to be yes. It's based on a chazaka and we don't know if the person's alive or dead. And chazaka tells us he's alive. Fine. Chazaka tells us he's alive. Therefore, the get is valid. Therefore, she can move on. And she will not be in a guna. However, when we're talking about truma is something that we can be cautious about. Should she eat truma? Okay. So let's say no.
She'll have other food to eat.
Right? She'll have other food to eat. So there'll be there'll be more things available to her. Her diet is not subsisted just on truma. Okay, so the Gemara says, so really when you are asking this question from truma to gittin, it's not a fair question. So the Gemara says, fine, that's not a fair question. I have a fair question. Rami truma truma, the Gemara says, okay. But note the following. Okay, so what do we have? We have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us the Kohen husband goes away on a business trip, and now he's been gone for a while. Can she continue eating truma? The answer is yes. And meanwhile, you know what's coming. Miyad. And meanwhile, the Kohen husband going away, giving his wife a contingent get, saying, look, this get will be activated a moment before I dies, and then he leaves. She will be prohibited to eat truma immediately. Okay, that is a stira. That's absolutely a stira. And not only is that a stira, it's a stira within truma. So what we're going to try to do now for the next little bit of the Gemara is try to resolve the stira between these two brises. So So the Gemara tries out an answer. And I'm going to try to explain it, but I know the Gemara is going to dismiss it pretty quickly. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to explain it, but what the Gemara right now is proposing is the following. Excuse me. Our Mishnah is telling us that the husband went away, and the question is, did he die? Did he not die? Status quo tells us he did not die. She can go ahead and continue eating truma. However, when the husband goes away, giving his wife a contingent get, having it take effect a moment before he dies, so now, a moment before he dies, so the question is not whether or not did he die or did he not, although ultimately, of course, that's the question. So I realize this is going to be tricky to explain, but the question really is that moment before death, meaning because remember, a get cannot work post-mortem. Ain't get lachar misa. So the only time the get could be effected is that moment before death. So in other words, so now the question over here is did he die or did he not? But the moment before death. So then, and then at that point in time, the get's going to kick in. So for that, we're going to be concerned. Okay. Now, if you right now are struggling to understand this distinction that I just laid out, don't struggle too much. The Gemara immediately is going to reject. Maskel of Rapapa, mimai de'iu meis bereisha, dama ii meis bereisha. Rapapa says, how do you know that he's going to die first? Maybe she's going to die first. Mm-hmm. Now, again, Rapapa's rejection over here, not super clear in the Gemara what he means by that. But ultimately, if we can, basically, I'm going to go back and just simply point out what I believe we're all thinking, certainly what I'm thinking, and that is, what kind of distinction did you make? Well, if he goes away, and now the question is, did he die or did he not die? Okay, we'll say he didn't die. Chazaka, that he's still alive. But if it's Shah Achas Kodim Misoso, for that we have to worry about, because that's a moment before he died. A moment before he died is only a concern because he's going to die the next moment. So in other words, there really is no distinction to be made between did he die, did he not, or the moment before he died. I know the Gemara phrases it a little bit differently. What I'm saying over here is not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, well, how do I know that he died? Maybe she died first. But effectively, what Rapapa is pointing out is that this argument over here, this distinction, is not a valid distinction. Elam Rabbi Lokasha HaRabbi Meir de Lochai Shlemisa, Rabbi Yehuda de Chai Shlemisa. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what we're going to say. It's a machlokas tanaim, meaning again, we have a stereo between two brises. One brisa says that he goes away. She can keep eating truma. Why? Cheskas chayim. The person's still alive. But when he gives her a get and says it's going to be effective a moment before he dies and then he goes away, she can't eat truma immediately. That's a stereo. We're struggling to understand. The Gemara says, stop struggling. It's a machlokas. That's all. Didnan. Now, how do I know it's a machlokas? So we've been here before. This is something that we've seen earlier, just a couple days ago. Halokeach yain. This price, by the way, is quoted numerous times throughout Shas. More than half a dozen. Okay, doesn't matter. So, but already in Gittin, we saw it twice. Halokeach yain mi benakus emamar shen lukim shani asi lafish harein chum asara maiser rishon tisha maiser sheni mechal v'shosa miyad divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, so where are you right now? In a situation where I have wine, I have to be mafresh umas amaisos, but right now, I can't be mafresh it right now. Again, I'm not going to go through all the details and circumstances. Why not? Here's the question. Can I drink 75% of it? My numbers over here are rough numbers. They're not precise. Can I drink 75% of it, leaving the last 25% over at the end? And then that whatever I leave over at the end, that'll be my trumas and maisos. Trumas 2%. Maiser rishon's 10%. Maiser sheni is going to be also 10%, but a 10% of the residual, which is 9%. Anyway, okay, it's going to be approximately 20, more than 20% of it has to go to trumas and maisos. So I'll drink up to 80% of it, leaving over the last 20%, and whatever I leave over will be trumas and maisos. Can I do that? So Rav Meir says, sure, no problem. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin, and we have three tanaim who say that you can't do that. And now, let's pause over here. And so, what does this have to do with death?
We had this.
And what does this have to do with death? Meaning, we're talking about a jug right now. So, if you recall, so we explained that the concern of the tanaim of Rabbi Yossi. And with the Gemara thought, by the way, perfect. We talked about this in the context of Breira. We thought this was a Breira discussion. If you recall, the Gemara says it's not a Breira discussion. What's the issue over here? The jug may break. Meaning, what's going to end up happening? I'm going to drink 75% of it. I have that last 25%. It's going to go to Struma and Samaisos, and then, oops, I drop it. It breaks. I drop it, it breaks. Now what? Now what happens is that the trumas and maisos are not taken off. What did I drink now? What, that first 75%? It's called tevel. It's usur. Meaning I can only drink when I'm mafresh trumas and maisos. And I decided to wait till the end and and only with the remainder take off trumas and maisos. You run the risk of losing it, the jug breaking, losing it. And it turned off, you didn't wear mafresh or masamaisus, and it turns out you drank devil. Okay. Rameir says, I'm not worried. And the other Tanaim say, we are worried. And the concern is, the jug may break. And the Gemara right now, this requires thought. What the Gemara is suggesting is that this machlokis is all but a predicate of what is going to be our chazaka. Is the person alive, the person dead? Now, mind you, by the way, I'm sure you're thinking in your head right now, we're comparing a jug breaking and a person dying, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. We're comparing a jug breaking and a person dying. Meaning, will the jug break? So Tanayim, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, let's name names. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, they say, yeah, we're worried that the jug is going to break. And then, similarly, is a person going to die? Yeah, we're worried that a person's dying. Now, I admit, by the way, that this is a jump that the Gemara just made. It's a leap, right? A jug breaking is a pretty simple event of it slipped out of your hand, it fell, gravity, jug breaks. A person dying is much more complicated than that.
Maybe they're trying to bring the premise that we're as frail as a jug.
Okay, could be. It could be. In other words, right. Obviously, yes, correct. Right, for those who are concerned, right, our life over here is fragile. It's just like, perfect, Alan, well, very well said. And Masha Inkin, according to Rabbi Meir says, I'm not worried about the jug breaking, and I'm not worried about a person dying. And so over here, this is what the Gemara is formulating as a distinction, not a distinction, a machlokus between the Tanaim. We're going to take that machlokus and we're going to bring it over here. Is the person who went away, is he dead or is he not dead? That's the machlokus Tanaim as to whether or not the jug is going to break or the jug is not going to break. Rava Amar. Okay, so we have so far now one approach to resolve the machlokus between the two braises regarding Truma. One approach is, the Gemara tried to give an earlier approach, but the Gemara summarily rejected it. So right now we have so far one approach on the table, it's a machlokus Tanaim. We turn the page. Rava Amar, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. Rava Amar Shema Meis Lo Chayshinan. Shema Yamos Chayshinan. So now, this one's going to be also hard. A couple of hard parts of today's daf. So this one's also going to be hard, and that's going to be Rava's distinction between the two. Let's ask the question, right? She's sitting down to dinner, her husband went away. Let's ask the question. So, wait a second. The only way I'm going to be eating this truma, I'm able to eat this truma, is if he's alive or did he die? If you're asking the question, did he die? So Shema Meis Lo Chayshina. For that, if the question is, did he die? The Gemara says, no, he did not. Chazaka status quo tells us that he did not die. Ah. But what's the other example? What's the other Braisa? He went away. He gave an insurance get. The get is going to be effective a moment before he dies. So now the question formulated over there is he going to die? And the answer, of course, is yes. We all are. So what Rava now tries to do is give a distinction, meaning it's not a machlokes tanaim, it's just a question of what question are we responding to? Did he die? Chazaka tells us no. Shema Yamos, will he die? The answer, of course, is yes. Now,
was that an accepted?
We're learning right now. Meaning, right now we're trying out different theories, different theses in terms of resolving the two braises. Right, this is right now Rava's attempt to respond. Let's see it. Let's see the Gemara play it out. So Shema Meis Lo Chayshinan, Shema Yamos Chayshinan. And I'm going to pause for just a moment because I understand that this distinction is hard. It's a difficult distinction, and it definitely takes brain power. I'm not claiming I fully understand it, but I'm able to say it over, but not because I fully understand it. Just because, you know, I've been doing this for a while. So Amalei Rav Adar Bar Masa L'Rav V'Hano D'Chashem Yamosu Pligi. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, let's go back to our jug. Is the jug going to break? Right? In other words, the question by the jug is not, did it break? The question by the jug is it going to break? What's the answer? The answer is, it's a machlokas. Right? On one hand, right, we've done this so many times, I should know this already. On one hand, we have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that, no, don't worry, it's not going to break. And on the other hand, you have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, who say, no, we're worried it is going to break. But the question is not on whether it happened. The question is going on, will it happen? And you, Rav, are proposing that if the question that you're formulating is, will it happen? And you're telling me that unequivocally the answer is yes. It's not unequivocal. We just went through a machlokas. Granted, by the way, we went through a machlokas regarding a jug, not regarding life and the end of life. But still, by jug, it's a machlokas. Sorry, I read that. We're three lines down. So here the Gemara now finally tries out to make a distinction. A jug breaking, I don't know, you can prevent that. A person dying, you can't prevent that. You know, with a jug breaking, give it to a shomer. He'll take care of it. And hopefully you're thinking now the Gemara's next point, Maskel Rav Misharsha, Arvich Arvich Sarich. That's great. I'm so happy you gave it to somebody to watch. Do you know that he's also human? Do you know that he's also prone to mistakes? And in other words, the jug may break in your hands. I got news for you. You give it to somebody to watch, it can break in his hands as well. Meaning, it's possible that it's going to break regardless of who's watching it. Okay, so all Rav is going to do is just sharpen and crystallize his point, meaning Rav is not changing his point, he's just simply sharpening it based on what we just said. Again, Shema Meis. If the question is, did the person die? The answer is unequivocally no. Right? She's sitting down, she's eating truma. Her husband has been away now for 6 months. Okay, what allows her to eat truma? The fact that she's married to a Kohen. He's been away now for half a year. She hasn't heard from him. Okay, but the question now is, she sits down to dinner. Did he die? No. Okay, pass the bread. Perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if the question now becomes Shema Yamus, meaning she was given a get. The get will be affected a moment before he dies. So now the question over here is not did he die, but will he die? So that the moment immediately prior, she's going to be a divorce. Sorry. By the way, I'm getting better. So a moment before a moment before death, she's now going to be a divorced woman. So now to that question of will he die? So that Rava says that's the machlokas tanaim, meaning that's the brisa that we did between about the yayin, about the wine and drinking up to 80% of it, and now a concern of will the jug break? Yes or no? That is a question of will it break, or in our particular case, will he die? That's the machlokas tanaim between Rav Meir and the other tanaim. Okay, good. That takes us to the end of a sugya, which I admit. That we did it quickly. Hopefully I was clear. But we did it quickly. And boy, there's a lot to think about in terms of the chazaka and what is a given in terms of status quo assumptions that we make versus what's on the table for deliberation and discussion. Okay. We are on Chav Ches Amud Beis, and just a couple stops away from the Mishnah. Hashalecha tasom imidina sayam. Vabinus Micha, I foreshadow the question. You're sending your carbon chatas. And the point of the Mishnah is that the chatas arrived in the Beis HaMikdash a month, 2 months, 6 months later. They're offering a carbon. If you died already, they can't offer the carbon. Right? Ain't get lachar misa, ain't carbon chatas lachar misa. And by the way, why is that? It's very simple. Because once you die, you've already achieved a kapara. And the carbon chatas, therefore, is not necessary. And now, carbon chatas that's not necessary, chatas shemesu ba'aleha, cannot be offered as a carbon. How do we know that you're still alive? And the answer, of course, is chazaka, status quo. So, but the Gemara is bothered over here by a simple question, and that is, don't you need to do smicha? The Gemara's answer, I'm Rav Yosef, b'carbon nashim. So first of all, can be that the Mishnah is describing the carbon of a woman who's bringing a carbon chatas. She doesn't need to do smicha, that's answer number one. Rav Papa amar b'chatas ha'of. Alternatively, Chatzas Ha'of, also no smicha is required. Okay. Tosus over here, the first Tosus on the Amud Beis is bothered by a simple question. You know, smicha is not ma'akev.
But is smicha d'oraisa?
Yeah, of course. The mitzvah of smicha is d'oraisa, but it's not ma'akev. It doesn't, in other words, it's not critical to the carbon. So Tosus acknowledges that, but still Tosus says it. We're not going to go ideally into this kind of practice based on a bidi evin. Okay. Anyway. And also a point that I foreshadowed when we did the Mishnah why three different examples all speaking to the same point. Is the person alive? The answer is yes. Cheskas Chaim. So now the Gemara says, it's Richa, why do I need all three cases? The Ish, meaning Get, if I only had the case of Get Mishum, the Lo Efshar. Because again, by Get, maybe I would have said that that's an exceptional case because we don't want women to be in a Guna. Aval Truma De Efshar Yem Alam. But when it comes to Truma, again, there's other foods that she can eat. The Iyash, meaning Truma, Zimnin De Lo Efshar. Now, if I only had the case of Truma, so I would say, you know, I know normally there are other foods out there. But let's imagine a scenario where there are no other foods out there. The only thing he left in the pantry for his wife is truma. So maybe over there will be, that would be an exceptional case and will be more makel. Avachata sa'ov, misveka, lo leil, chulun lazara. But in the case of the chatas, in the case of the carbon chatas, so I would make the argument of, look, I don't know if the person's alive or dead. And right now, we're running the risk of bringing chulin shebazara, because again, if the person died, the chatas becomes unnecessary, and unnecessary means you can't offer it. And now it's chulin bazara, and don't bring it. Let's be cautious. So tzricha. So in other words, all three examples in the Mishnah are really highlighting that cheskas chayim, the fact that the status quo, that the person's alive, and we work, and we could proceed with that assumption, is an unequivocal assumption that we make, and with broad-reaching applications in the world of allowing her to remarry, in the world of her ability to eat truma, in the world of offer the carbon, and it's not chulin ba'azara. So multifaceted applications of this principle of cheskas chayim. Let's start with the next Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Parta said three things, and they were a little bit like on the fence, if you will, but kimos tavarov. In other words, he got approbation. He got a big yesh koach on all three points that he made. Number one, al irshi kufu karkom, that let's say a city was under siege, and al svina meturef is beyam, and the ship is now tossing in the water. Val yosi lidon, or somebody is sent to the executioner. Shehin becheskas kayamim. So all those people are still going to be becheskas chayim. Meaning, the last reporting I got was that city was under siege, all the people in the city are still alive. Meaning, but that city was under siege. I know. Cheskas chayim. In all three of those cases. Ava. Ir shekav shua karakom. But if the city wasn't just under siege. Sorry. I promise I'm getting better. So the city wasn't just under siege, but breach. Breach in the wall. That's the last bit of information you got. Or svina sha'av dabayam. The boat wasn't just tossing in the water, the boat turned over. Or, hayotze leharig, he's actually being taken out to the execution. Previously, I misspoke. Previously, he wasn't being taken out to the execution. He was yotze lidon. He was on trial for a capital crime. Over here, we're past the trial. He's being taken out to be and being executed. Hayotze leharig. So notes nilem chomer chayim v'chomer mesim. So now, is the person alive or dead? All bets are off. Chazaka's gone. But that doesn't mean that we think he's dead. It means we don't know. And therefore, we're going to be machmir. Bas Yisrael l'koin, bas koin l'Yisrael. Lo socha b'truma. Okay, so that means now that we're going to tell the wife who's married to a koin, and the last reporting we had about the koin is, he was in a city that wasn't just under siege, the wall was breached. He wasn't just on a boat that was rocking, the boat tipped over. He wasn't just on in front of a court, in front of being charged with a capital crime. They sent him out to be executed. If that's the last information she received, she can no longer eat truma. I understand there are other issues that she's going to be dealing with as well. But again, the Gemara right now, the Mishnah right now is just focusing on the halachic aspect of what about the chazaka? Now the chazaka is gone. But it doesn't mean he's dead. It simply means we don't know. I'm Rav Yosef Loshan. Yes, yes, yes.
We also assume he's alive.
Correct. I'm Rav Yosef Loshanu Ella Beveis in Shal Yisrael of a Beis in Shal of the Kochavim. Kevin de Gamer Leidina leKatala Miktal Katlele. So the Gemara makes a distinction whether or not you are sitting in front of a capital court made up of Jews, otherwise known as Jewish litigation, or non-Jews. Now, when it comes to non-Jews and they and the verdict is you're guilty, and now you're being taken to execution. So at that point in time, there is no there's no in between. It's not maybe you're alive, maybe you're dead. If that's all in the information we have, basically now we can write you off as you're dead. No, so,
not anymore.
Huh?
This one guy's going to be executed Thursday, 40 years ago. He was.
I understand you're working with our justice system here in America. Okay, I understand. Point well taken. Obviously, they were experiencing a different world, not the world we live in. So Amale based in Shalav de Kochem de Mekabla Shokta. So the Gemara says, really, non-Jewish court, you can't bribe them? Come on. So Amale Kishakle Mekam de Lechtem Porse Shinamag. Labasa de Machtem Porse de Shinamag, Lo Shakle. So the Gemara says, they take bribes up to one point. But there comes a point in time. In other words, the Gemara over here is describing part of their legal system, part of the legal process, which obviously I have no idea what it is, but in other words, there's some sort of chasima. In other words, there comes a point in time in their process where it's a point of no return. And once you're past that point, they're not taking bribes. Okay, fine. Meitzvei. Kol makom sheyamdu shnayim v'yamru mi demanu az vishponi shenigmar dina beveiz dino. Shal ploni uploni uploni edav arei ze yahareg. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about the Mishnah Makos? We all know the Mishnah Makos. Mishnah Makos describes a person who was charged with a capital crime, and not just charged with a capital crime, but ends up running away. And so you're telling me that a person who is in front of a court, and now the verdict came down, he's guilty. And now, right at that point in time, his Cheskes Chaim is gone. And meanwhile, over here, we're reading a Mishnah, learning a Mishnah about the person who ran away. And by the way, the point of the Mishnah, which I wasn't articulate about, is that if you have Edim who testified that this person was in a court, charged with a capital crime, and convicted of a capital crime, he just happened to run away, so that testimony by itself is enough to go ahead and we don't have to retry him. Meaning at that point in time, we could just simply execute him. That's the point of the Mishnah. Anyway, but the point is that after post-verdict, he's running away. So the Gemara says, Demo Barech Shani. The Gemara says, great. That's an exceptional case. That's not normal. Normally what happens is that they're going to take him to execution. Okay. Tashma. Shama mi beis nisho yisoh shayu omri mi shponi meis. Ishponi nairag. Yasirus ishto mi kom tarisin shal ovdi kochav mi ishponi meis ishponi nairag. Al yasiu es ishto. Okay, so. If let's say a witness testifies and he says in the Jewish court, so the person, the person was subject to a capital crime and convicted. So if it's a Jewish court, so what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to marry off his wife. But if it's a non-Jewish court, So then you're not allowed to marry off his wife. So my mace, my narag. There are two terms that are used in the braisa, mace and narag. What does that mean? Elam a mace mamish narag narag mamish kavas egabdeo v'kochavim amay al yasiu zisho akamalan dechol meisiach lefitumo hemun mehamnele. Are we to take those words literally, which normally is what we're supposed to do? And if we take the words literally, so then I don't understand. If we're getting reporting by a non-Jew that a person died. So remember the Gemara's at the end of Yevamos? We all remember. The Gemara at the end of Yevamos said that reporting of a death of an individual is credible, even if the reporting comes from a woman, even if it comes from a non-Jew, as long as he's speaking Mesiach Lefitomo, as long as he's not aware that what he's saying is legally significant. So I don't understand. If Mesa Narag, if the reporting is that the person died, what difference does it make who the court was? So El Alav Yotze Lamos Yotze Lehareg V'Ketani Bebeis Nisol Yasiu Es Ishto. So over here, it doesn't mean the reporting is not that he died; he's being sent to his death. That's what the Brisa must mean. But if that's what the Brisa means, now we have a problem, because a Jewish court and sending to his death. What did we just learn in the Brisa? He's now considered dead, which is against what we learned in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, what do we say? We say we don't know in either direction. La'olam meiz mamish v'nerag mamish. So the Gemara says, no, let's go back to the literal interpretation of the Braisa. The reporting is that the person died. That's the reporting. And now to the question of, well, if that's the reporting, then the source shouldn't bother us. What difference does it make whether it's coming from a Jew or a non-Jew? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara in Yavamos does tell us that we are allowed to receive reporting from a non-Jew regarding whether or not a person died or did not die, allowing his wife to remarry. That's true. And it is true that the person has to be Mesiach Lefi Tumo. He has to say it matter-of-factly. That's also true as well. But that's if he is an observer to the event and he has no personal investment in the event. However, if that person who's reporting is an invested party, he's somebody who was involved in the court at that point in time, you no longer can trust his information. His information is no longer viewed as objective information, and that no longer falls under the category of Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Mesiach Lefi Tumo means that he's reporting it, but with no personal investment whatsoever. And so therefore, you could just assume that it's just information and that's it. But once it's no longer Mesiach Lefi Tumo, i.e., he was involved in the case himself, so at that point in time, we no longer can trust that information. But the Bryce is talking about where the reporting was that he actually died. And that makes the difference between whether the reporter is a Jew or a non-Jew. Okay. Ika Damre, we'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. And tomorrow we'll pick it up with Ika Damre. Okay. A big daf today regarding Chazaka. Huge daf regarding Chazaka. A Mishnah. Three different examples of the fact that a person, we don't know the person's status. Is he alive or dead? Cheskas Chaim. The person's going to be in a status of being alive. And the Chazaka tells us that he's alive. Even if he's Zakin, even if he's a Chola. So he has a Cheskas Chaim. Okay, over the course of the Amud Aleph, so we dealt with a simple question of every Zakin and every Chola. Abai says, well, certainly by Zakin, Abai says yes, every Zakin. Chola, so we can make a difference between what kind of condition he is, sick versus critical. We can make such a distinction. The big part of today's daf is stiras in the Braisas about Cheskas Chaim, the stira between one Braisa and Truma and our Mishnah. And is a person going to be having a Cheskas Chaim? And really difficult answers of the Gemara in terms of making distinctions, either it's a Machlokas Tanayim, or making a distinction between Shema Meis versus Shema Yamos. Very difficult. But that's what we covered over the course of today. And then the Amud Beis. And on the Amud Beis, we wrapped up, why did the Mishnah give us three different examples of all speaking to Cheskas Chaim? And finally, we did another Mishnah today, and the Mishnah says that there comes a point where the Chazaka goes away. Not because we know the person's dead, but at this point in time, the situation is so dire that he loses his Chazaka. Three different examples that are given in the Mishnah. Number one, the city was not only sieged, but breached. Number two, the boat wasn't just tossing, it was overturned. And number three, the person is Yotzei Leharek. Verdict came out guilty. They're taking him to his execution. That's all the information we now know. But at that point in time, his Cheskas Chaim goes away. And in the Gemara's discussion today, a distinction to be made between a Jewish court and non-Jewish court. Our Mishnah is only speaking about a Jewish court, but in a non-Jewish court, post-verdict. So the Gemara says at that point in time, if that's all the information you have, so basically he's as good as dead. Halacha will view the individual as dead. And by the way, that's certainly not how we operate nowadays, but in our system. But.